Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows the name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast. Hank Haney and Minnesota Tim Perotska. And Minnesota Tim, did you know that this week on the PGA Tour, they are playing a Corn Ferry event on the PGA Tour?
Why are you being so disrespectful about the Bermuda Championship?
Did you see the field at the Bermuda Championship?
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
Who's the highest rated player there? I mean, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking it might be Danny Willett. What's he ranked in the world?
Danny Willett's 56th in the world golf rankings.
Okay. I might be wrong, but he looks like the highest rated player in the tournament. It's an absolute joke. How do they get people to sponsor this? I mean, the PGA Tour, how do they get people to sponsor these tournaments? I mean, this is just like crazy. I'm looking at this field. Like, this is the whole give everybody a chance, create more. My goodness, look at Paul Stankowski. He's playing.
He's playing?
Yes. I mean, he hasn't played in years. Well, what is he? Okay, he's 50 years old, so he's playing he's playing to get ready for the Champions Tour or something. I mean, when was the last time he played in a golf tournament? Okay, he played there last year, and other than that, he hasn't played in a PGA Tour event since 2015. I mean, he's a past winner on the PGA Tour. I mean, he won two times on the PGA Tour, so he's got some kind of status. He gets in. Oh my gosh! I mean, this is unbelievable. Fred Funk is playing.
Let's go, Fred Funk, all day, baby.
Fred Funk is 64 years old.
He's due.
He's due.
He's due. The due theory. Why are you being so disrespectful to Fred? It's the due theory, Hank.
He finished 66th last year on the Champions Tour.
Anything can happen.
Oh, jeez. He finished 91st in 2019 on the Champions Tour. He's 64 years old. His son's playing, Taylor Funk. Somehow he got his son in there, too. I don't think his son has any status on the PGA Tour. Oh, my gosh. This is just like, wow.
This is awesome. Wow. Is Tommy Armour playing this week? Did you reach out to him?
He should have been. He should be. He's not playing. He could have gotten in there. Oh, my gosh. He should have played. And Tommy's won on the PGA Tour. You can just get anybody can get in. Wow. Henrik Stenson's playing. Actually, he's a higher-ranked player. I don't know what he's ranked, something 56th, 60th, something like that. I don't know. He's playing.
Take a look at this, okay? The favorite for the tournament, according to Bovada Sports, is Will Zalatoris. And Zalatoris, wow. He does not have his PGA Tour card yet.
He's a Corn Ferry player.
He's a Corn Ferry Tour. He's an up-and-comer. He's 24 years old.
Somebody will win this tournament. Brendan Todd won it last year. It got his career going again. Who knows? Maybe this is a jump start. But there'll be a big audience watching that one. Jeez, wow. Unbelievable.
It's a big one.
Yeah, anyway. Well, okay, next week's Houston. There'll be some players playing there. We'll see if Tiger plays. And then, of course, you got the Masters. So it's just a run-up to the Masters. That's what we got going. You know what? I heard there was a big interview on one of the podcasts on iHeart.
Yes.
And that I might be interested in. Is that true?
That is very true. Or according to a personal source related to Minnesota, Tim Peraschke, I'll call him my cousin. Actually, let's just be honest here. It's me. I'm the source.
Oh, you so are. Okay.
I'm the producer of the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. It's a fantastic podcast. Shane Bacon's got some great guests on there. He had Phil Mickelson on last week. He's had Justin So on a couple of weeks ago. He had some LPGA stars on there before. And he had Mike Davis, the CEO of the USGA.
Oh, the real Mike Davis or the fake Mike Davis?
The real Mike Davis.
Oh, wow.
The real Mike Davis. Okay.
Oh, man. What did that idiot have to say?
Oh, he had so much to say, Hank. So much valuable information. So many great insights into the world of golf that Mike Davis talked about. I'm the producer of that podcast.
Yeah.
And when you produce other podcasts for iHeart, you can snag audio. So this is a selling point to the Clubhouse. Follow the Clubhouse podcast with Shane Bacon wherever you listen to podcasts.
Little
plug in there.
Let's do this. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and have a listen to this. And maybe I can, I'll give you my analysis. First off, give me a little clue. Did he run him over? Mike Davis, like he ran me over when that one time I had him on Sirius XM when I had him on there for an interview, and I asked him one question. He went for like 15 minutes, never had a period, a comma, an exclamation point. I never got a chance to get in another follow-up question, nothing. He just went on a whole dissertation, didn't even answer my original question, and just rambled on and on and on. Did he do any of that?
I'll let you be the answer to that. I don't want to say.
He did.
It seemed
didn't he?
Like a very fair answers. It was a great interview. It was Mike Davis answered the questions. He did provided his insight. I'll let you decide.
We'll check it out when we come back. All right. Remember, if you haven't signed up for your free instructional emails at HaneyUniversity.com, go do that. You get your free email tips every day. People are really liking the instruction they're getting and improving. I'm getting emails every day from people that are saying, Hank, I'm playing better golf. I like the tip that you gave on this or tip you gave on that. So it's all free. Just go and subscribe, HaneyUniversity.com. You can also find my new book there, How to Play Better Golf Today, Lessons of a Lifetime. You can get a signed autographed copy of that as well. We'll be right back on the Hank Any Podcast. All right, Tim. You want to lay this? Let's hear this interview. Are we gonna play the whole thing, or are we gonna stop it and give some comments in between?
So, Hank, I'm gonna play the entire clip here. It's not very long. It's only a couple of minutes. Shane asks Mike Davis, the CEO of the USGA, about distance in the game of golf. Distance in the game of golf. That's a hot topic in today's golf industry.
Yeah.
So let me play the audio here. It's not a very long answer. I'll let you decide whether or not Mike Davis ran over the great Shane Bacon, the host of the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon, and also a co-host of Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. So here it is, Mike Davis answering Shane Bacon's question.
Where are we going with this boom in distance, if you will? And do you see it as a good thing, a bad thing, or just part of golf that we've seen over the last 100, 150 years, that distance will always be a thing that improves as the players improve?
Well, listen, it's a complex issue. It's always been a complex issue. And when I say always, Shane, this issue has been for at least 125 years, this has been an issue. So this is not something that has just happened of late. This is not, contrary to what some people think, this is not something that just came up with, you know, the two-piece golf ball and the big-headed titanium clubs. You go back to the time going from the gutta-percha ball to the Haskell ball. There was roughly a 20% increase when that happened. I mean, think about that. I mean, what we saw going from, you know, think about the early 1990s when the better player was using a Bellotta, you know, wound golf ball with a steel shaft and hitting a wooden driver. You know, you think about from that time to now, I don't know what we've had, maybe an 8% increase or perhaps 10%. So these things have happened over the years. And, you know, we've dug up quite a bit of material on this. And I think it was in 1910, 1911. If I read you the minutes from the USGA equipment, you know, meeting then, you swear you would think it's today because these issues have been going on and on. And listen, I guess I'll start off by saying that it's an incredibly important issue. I mean, I personally am passionate about it because I think that it's not as if we have an emergency, but I do believe strongly, and certainly the USGA and RNA, you know, as organizations agree with this, that it's an issue that needs to be dealt with. How it gets dealt with, I mean, I think that's the process we're working through. But as we started what we call the Distance Insights Initiative about 2.5 years ago, we spent basically 2 years researching what has happened relative to distance over the last 100+ years. I mean, what were the causes of it? And what were the effects of it? And where are we now? And where is the game going? And really put data, I mean, factual data behind it, which frankly is where so many people have strong thoughts about this subject. It's complicated. Some people think that what's happened with distance is disastrous for the game, continues to be disastrous. Other people would suggest that the genie's out of the bag and let athletes be athletes, let technology go where it's going to go and deal with it. But, you know, the reason we think it's so important is it's not just about the athlete. It's not just about how you're swinging. This is much bigger. This is how distance is affecting golf courses around the world. And folks, this is not just about the PGA Tour, the European Tour, in other words, the male elite player. If it was just that, it would kind of be a non-issue because you can find, you know, the 35,000 golf courses around the world, you can find golf courses that can change to meet that very small group of players. I mean, small, but influential and important. This is about, you know, when you look at the data, it's crystal clear, Shane, is that you've got over a 100-year cycle of increasing hitting distances. And then what's happened on because of that is golf courses for over 100 years have been lengthening along. And it's had a profound effect on golf courses. The golf courses are spending more money to change. It's causing increases in operating costs. It's causing us to use more resources like water or gasoline to mow more. And this notion that, you know, every generation has to hit the ball further than the last, and consequently, golf courses have to lengthen. We just believe it needs to end because it's just not good for the game. And we believe distance is relative. It's always been relative. And Shane, if you and I go out and play, whether it's with today's technology or we wind things back and you and I decide to go out and play with hickories in a feathery ball, you're always going to hit the ball further than me. You're a better golfer.
This guy's a beauty. He just does not stop. This is one answer.
He's getting into how do we protect golf courses, not only now. This isn't a rollback. This is actually looking forward. And so to me, it's all about having a healthy game, an enjoyable game, a sustainable game for many generations. And we've just seen trends, and we've seen the data is crystal clear about this, as I said, that it's just not good for the game to be forcing billions of dollars worth of change just because of increased distance. And again, this is not a PGA Tour issue. This is an issue for all of the game, because if it was just a PGA Tour issue, why are we seeing golf courses around the world that aren't even hosting tour events lengthen? So, you know, listen, to put another way, all we're trying to do, Shane, is fit the game on golf courses. We want the equipment to fit and the players to fit on golf courses. We're not trying to take away athleticism. And maybe a put to, you know, a final comment would just be, what other sport would allow their arenas to have to change the way golf has?
Right.
You don't see baseball changing stadiums because they're using titanium bats and hot baseballs. That's exactly what has happened with the game of golf, and it's been detrimental. It's cost and for those golfers that would say, listen, I'm not the problem. Don't penalize me. Just do something about the male elite golfer. They don't get it because it's causing courses everywhere to change. Even if you don't play the back tees, you're having to pay the cost. The environment, you know, paying the cost, extra time to play courses is. So when you look at the data, a rational person would say, you know what, I hadn't thought about it big picture enough. I get it now. Now, in terms of where we go, you know, there's a process to this. I honestly can't sit here today and say I know the tactics that they're going to use. I really don't know. In fact, much of this is probably going to be done when I'm gone from the USGA. But I think that what we want to do is work with all the constituents. We want to work with, you know, we want to work with golf course architects. We want to work with the tours. We want to work with the golf course equipment manufacturers and say, how can we look at the long-term betterment of the game? We want to make sure that we're not doing anything to harm the recreational player. Because listen, you and I know, if we went into a room and we said, okay, 1,000 golfers, everybody raise your hand of who would like to hit the ball less distance. You wouldn't have one person. I think that if they understood that golf, you know, distance is relative, and that, you know, if something one day is done, you just go up and play from a shorter tee. And anyway, so that's, you know, I guess a wordy way to give you a perspective on it. It's a complicated issue, but I, for one, feel strongly that something needs to get done long term, but in a way that works for, you know, all constituencies.
What did he just say there?
He said that.
Jeez, how long was that, by the way?
That was an 8-minute and 15-second answer.
Oh, my gosh. That guy is absolutely beautiful. I mean, unbelievable. That was an answer to a question, huh? And he never, but break it down what he said. He didn't say anything. He said nothing at all. I mean, he said absolutely nothing. Nothing. He didn't give you one tangible thing in 8 minutes. What did he say? It's a complex issue. People would, baseball hitting, you know, titanium bat. They don't use titanium bats in the pros, by the way. They use wooden bats. And that's really the simplest way to fix the problem is just have a different set of rules for the pros. If it bothers you so much, have a different set of rules for the pros and a different set of rules for the amateurs. I mean, that's where they're going to have to go with this thing. And that's fine, okay? You know, knock their ball back, knock their clubs back, whatever you want to do there. It's the same thing they do in baseball. Why does everything have to have the same rules? It doesn't. College football uses a different ball than the NFL. Basketball is different. The 3-point line is different in the NBA than it is in the college basketball. I mean, it doesn't have to be the same. There's no, you know, rule that says it has to be the same, but he didn't say anything. Nothing. He gave you nothing, no earthly idea as to what is contemplated, what might happen, what they are thinking about happening. I mean, throw the guy a bone on his question. I mean, just like what are some possibilities that you guys have, you know, when you sit around the table, what are some possibilities that you have talked about? He just went on for 8 minutes and didn't say one thing, nothing. Zippo. What did he say? Tell me what he said.
He said that they're trying to stop distances for all the golfers, yet they're not trying to penalize the average golfer.
And he kept saying that he said multiple times that this isn't just about the better players, the professionals, but that's not true. I mean, what he's saying is that golf courses are going and lengthening their course. Okay. There's nobody that has a gun over their head and says, if you don't lengthen our course, you know, you're not going to be a golf course anymore, or you're not going to be a country club, or you're not, I mean, like if a country club decides their board members, which are usually a group of members that are influential and they're usually better players and they maybe hit it longer and they get on the board. And first off, boards at country clubs are just, that's how they ruin the clubs. Is all you got to do to ruin a club is just get a board of members to run things and the thing will be ruined. Every good country club that's run is run by dictatorship. And you got one person making decisions and he might not make all the right decisions and you might not like all his decisions, but I can promise you one thing, it'll be a lot better than if it's run by a board of members. The fastest way to screw up things is have a board of members running a club. And these board of members get on there and they decide that, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to lengthen our golf course. I mean, I belong at, you know, Arizona Country Club. It's built on a small piece of property. There's nowhere to lengthen the course. It cannot be done. It's surrounded by houses on four sides of this rectangular or square property, and there's nowhere to go. They can't do anything. And you know what? The golf course is just fine. It's just fine. It's not going to host a PGA Tour event. It's probably not going to host a state open or whatever. Who cares? It's just a nice country club for members, and it's just fine. It doesn't need to be any longer. And you know what? If there's a few members that hit it a long way and they feel like it's too much of a pitch and putt course, or it's not challenging enough, or it doesn't reflect enough shot value for them, you know what they need to do? Go join a different course. Go play at a different course. There's plenty of them in Scottsdale and Phoenix, Arizona. There's courses everywhere. Go play somewhere else if this one doesn't fit you. There's nothing that says that these golf courses, like Mike Davis says, that there's nothing that says they have to lengthened. They have to be lengthened. There's nothing. There's no rule that says that. Just leave it like it is. He doesn't make any sense when he talks. This is all about better players. It's all about the tour players. It's all about how far they hit it. All the tests show, all their data shows that the average player isn't really hitting it any farther. And they're averaging, 200 yards off the tee, the average player, and they're worried about how far they're hitting the golf ball. To me, it's all about the better player. And you know that because this Mike Davis guy is such a clown and he's so deceiving and he will not tell you the straight story. So when he says three or four times in that 8-minute clip where he never even had a pause, a comma, or an exclamation point or anything, nothing, a new paragraph, new sentence, nothing. It just goes on and on and on. But in 8 minutes, he mentions three or four times it's not about the best players, then you know it's all about the best players. That's what you know. That you can be assured of, for sure. I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, if you want to roll it back, do whatever it is, just do it. Be done with it. Let's get it. Let's hear it. Let's hear what your idea. Throw your ideas out there. For 2 years or whatever, Tim, they've been going on this what do they call that thing? Their distance
insights project.
What does that mean? What do you need to know? What are you inciting? He said he wants to, it's a complex issue and the distance gain. What are the causes of it? And he said, what were the causes of I talked to my friend Randy Peterson, who runs the test center at Callaway. And Randy, they've done all the tests. I mean, it's all the distance increase. It's 50% from the ball, 50% from the club, period. That's it. They already know what it is. 50-50. Okay, maybe you argue at Callaway's data. Okay, maybe it's 49-51 or 48.5, 51.5. I don't know, but they, you know, Randy Tony's 50-50. 50 with the club, 50 with the, ball. Okay, what else you need to know? Wait, you have to do a distance insight project for 2 years? What's it telling you? It's not telling you anything. What are you going to do about this? And when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? I mean, what? Why does it take so long to do something? I don't get it. I just don't. He makes no sense at all. He's just unreal. All right, well, let's get more into this when we come back on the Hank Any podcast. Let's take another break. Hear from our sponsors, including Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. Aches and pains, muscle soreness, arthritis pain, joint pain, whatever it is you got. If you've tried all these different products, there's a bunch of them out there on the market. I don't know what it is you've tried. I tried them all, and that's why I came up with Voodoo Pain Relief Cream, because it's got 11 anti-inflammatory ingredients. I'm telling you, it's the best product on the market. Try it, and I believe in it so much, you can try it for free. Just get a free two-week supply. Just go to voodoopainrelief.com. And you will be singing the praises just like every single person does that I've had try this product. They all send me messages, call me, send me emails and say, Hank, my knees feel better. My hips feel better. My shoulders feel better. I can't believe it. This product really works. Try it for free. VoodooPainRelief.com. We'll be right back on the Hank Any Podcast. All right, Tim. So that interview with Mike Davis, Shane Bacon had on. Where can people find that? They can find it on Shane's podcast.
Yeah, they can go to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon and listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. If it's Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio app, it is one of the iHeartRadio golf podcasts in the iHeartRadio slate. So you can follow that wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, great, good stuff. All right. Oh, that's good. I love it. 8 minutes just went on. No, just that's what he does. That's how he answers questions right there.
I've got a story for you, Hank.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. So last Friday, Friday the 16th, I played golf with my cousin Jacob. Cousin Jacob and I played golf. It was like 37, 38 degrees.
Oh,
and there was
God.
Nobody else on the golf course at the great Shadowbrook Golf Course because it's a little too cold. There was a couple of other stragglers out there. But Jacob and I were out there grinding on the great Shadowbrook golf course. Anyway, the story is this. The golf ball was going just as far as it normally does because my ball in the winter normally goes just as far as normal. I don't care what the statistics say. I don't care what you have to say about that.
It does
my
not.
My ball goes in the winter.
Well, how did you come up with that, by the way?
As it does in the summer. I have a Golden Ram golf ball, and I opened it up. I cut it open. And it goes just as far during the winter as it does the summer. Anyway, the point is this.
What? Wait a second. Wait a second. What do you mean you cut it open?
I cut it open to look at the details and the texture inside of it. And it looks exactly like a Titleist Pro V1.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, have you ever cut one open?
You do not even know what you're looking at.
Have you ever cut one open?
Titleist has a bunch of layers to it. A Golden Ram doesn't have layers. Oh my gosh, you are clueless.
Anyway, the story is this. So I was playing golf with Cousin Jacob with my Golden Ram golf ball in 38 degree weather. And we played from the red tees because there was nobody else out there.
Well,
we
no wonder curious. Your ball was going just as far.
No, but this is the story. So we played from the red tee. So the ball was going further than it normally does when we were on the white tees. But it still wasn't going far enough to make the game of golf easy for us. The game became easier because we were driving the ball further and we had less clubs into greens. But it still wasn't easy. I still shot 80-something. I still shot 88, 89, bordering on 90, 91, the game of golf didn't get any easier for me hitting the ball further from the red tees as it did on the white. So rolling the golf ball back for average players like myself is not the answer.
Okay, you lost me somewhere.
lost you.
First off, if you play the red tees, it's going to be easier. But if your short game is no good, then that gain that you got from playing from a shorter distance or hitting the ball longer, which is the same thing as playing from more up tees, that's going to be negated, because if your problem is around the greens or your short game or your pitching game, whatever, you're hitting it into the green from a shorter distance, you're hitting a more lofted club, you should be better off that way. You don't understand that you do lose 2.5 yards for every 10 degrees in temperature change. You're playing on a 37 degree day versus an 87 degree day. So you just lost 12.5 yards per shot. And if you just hit 40 shots in a round and you lose 12.5 yards in each shot, you know, what you lost almost 500 yards. You know, 400 and whatever yards, 90 yards, you lost a lot of yardage there. So the golf course, instead of playing the normal course, might be 6,500 yards. You moved up a tee to, all the way up to ladies' tee. Maybe you moved up to 5,800 yards, but you ended up losing 500 yards because of the temperature. So instead of playing a 6,500 yard golf course, you played a 6,300 yard golf course. You played a golf course that was only 200 yards shorter, relatively speaking. And when you're comparing apples and apples, it's only 200 yards shorter that day because of the temperature change. You moved up the tee box, but you lost yardage because of the temperature. Even whether you realize it or not, that's just what happens. Maybe you lost yardage because it was wetter out there and you didn't get as much roll as you did in the middle of summer. I mean, you probably barely played a golf course that was shorter. But in your case, you're not the best short game player. Usually you rave about your putting, and you weren't raving about your putting. So maybe you didn't have as good of a putting day, and that's why you didn't score as good. But playing from a shorter distance is gonna make the game easier.
It did make it a little easier, but the point of my story was that it wasn't too easy where I was just dominating on the golf course. I don't want the golf
ball. Golf's never
going to
be too easy. Golf's never going to be too easy.
Mike Davis made it sound like it was too easy. He wants the golf ball rolled back for everybody. I don't want it rolled back for me. That was the point of my story.
No, the game is never going to be too easy. The game is never going to be too easy. Here's the one thing that I like. I like Jeff Shackelford's idea where he talks about making the golf ball bigger. This is the idea that I like. If you make the golf ball bigger, it won't go as far. And that will, be joyful to all these people that are so worried about how far the ball's going. But if you make the golf ball bigger, it's also going to make it easier for the less skilled players, because it's frankly easier to get your club below the equator of the golf ball. The smaller the ball is, the harder it is to hit. The more chance you have of your dub shot or your grounders or whatever you want to call them, worm burners. I mean, all those shots. You know, it's like if you've ever whacked a tennis ball with a golf club, it's pretty easy to hit that ball and get it up in the air. People wouldn't hit so many ground balls with a tennis ball because there's a lot more distance down to the equator of the tennis ball than there is down to the, below the equator of the golf ball. So if you made the golf ball bigger, it would make it easier to hit off the tight lies, which, by the way, have gotten a lot tighter over the years because of the agronomy and the way they mow these golf courses, and the equipment they use is so good. They mow it so close, so tight. It's made the game harder for the average player. It would make chipping easier. It would make all the shots off the fairway easier. Making the golf ball bigger would make the game easier for people, even if it made the golf ball go a little bit shorter, which would make it harder for people. And like, you know, the point that people do bring up, and it's a good point, you can always just move up a tee box. Now, people are reluctant to do that, but you can always just move up a tee box. That's the one thing that I would love to see that happen. If they did that, I think that would be good for golf, because when I think about golf and I think about making the game better and growing the game of golf, I think that the thing that's really tough about golf, you know, it's expensive. It takes a lot of time. You know, I don't know why they don't address those two issues. Those are both very addressable. Golf courses have a lot of open times that don't get used on their tee sheet. Those times could be sold off at a lower price, next to nothing, just to get people out there. And that would help the game. That would help grow the game. That's one thing. The second thing that could help make the game much better is if the USGA took the lead, you know, United States Golf Association, they took the lead and they sped up the game. That could happen too. Those are two things that are very, very fixable. The cost per round and the, I'm not saying playing on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. I'm saying, you know, maybe if you want to play cheap, you got to play at a different time. You know, it's not a prime time. It's not a time that you would pick as well. You want to play at the best time, you pay the premium price. But golf's a little bit in the dark ages on pricing and from that respect. So they could make the game cheaper. They could make the game faster if they put their mind to it and the USGA wanted to do it and just sped up people and got them playing faster. That would be something that's good. Another thing that would happen is if you could make the learning curve less steep. And the learning curve in golf is very, very steep. It's one of the things that's difficult about the game in terms of growing the game is it's just such a hard game. And the one thing that would make golf easier is to make the golf ball bigger. This is, I don't care how much bigger you make it, you make the game easier for beginners and for people that are challenged to play the game to any level that is fun for them. That would be something that would make golf better. And if you could kill two birds with one stone, you could shorten the ball a little bit, which would make all these golf course architect people happy and these traditionalists happy, shorten the ball a little bit, and you would shallow the learning curve tremendously if you made the golf ball bigger. And that's one thing that I would like to see them do. I think it would make a nice improvement in the game of golf. And you know what? If they don't want to do that, then let the pros play with you could still do that, but also do this. Let the pros play with different equipment. Just let them play with whatever you give them whatever equipment you want to give them. I don't know how you're going to get everybody to go along with that. I don't know how you're going to get the equipment companies to go along with that. Titleist is so against that. It's going to be a tough deal. And that's why, you know, I'm sure one of the reasons why Mike Davis is leaving and, you know, let somebody else deal with this issue. Because like he said, in that, you know, long-winded answer, it's a very complex issue. And it's something that's probably not going to get dealt with anytime soon. But we'll keep talking about it as we go. One thing I'd like to see, I like the idea of making the golf ball bigger, any amount. Any amount makes the game easier. Any amount.
It's very complicated.
Yeah, whatever that means. Yeah. I love how he says any reasonable person. I mean, I think I'm a reasonable person. I mean, I don't agree with anything this guy says, really.
You beautifully described what to me is one of the wonderful attributes of golf.
God. Wow. Give me an idea what you're going to do. Talk about just answer a question and actually give us something. Just give us something. What are you thinking about? Why aren't you doing it? What's your hesitation? Why is it so complex? What are the ideas that you've contemplated? Where do y'all stand? Give us something. Just anything. You know, you answer for 8 minutes and you don't say anything. Wow. Unbelievable. All right, Tim. Yeah, it's fun to listen to, though. And fun.
I'm
to,
enlightened. You
know. Oh, yeah. Enlightened by the, if you're enlightened by the USGA, you're, you've been living in a tunnel for sure. You're enlightened by the USGA because they are in the dark ages. Maybe it'll change when Mike Davis hangs them up. Can't wait for that day. Anyway, all right. Good stuff, Tim. Appreciate it. Appreciate your help. Follow us on Twitter at Hank Haney, at Tim Porochka. Email your questions to HankHaneyGolf@Outlook.com. Go to my website, HaneyUniversity.com, and subscribe to your free instructional emails. VoodooPainRelief.com. Get your free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. And most importantly, hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And we will be there every day with the Hank Haney Podcast. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.